I'd like to now share with you just a few stories from Joe Vitale's Attractor Factor, 5 Easy Steps for Creating Wealth or Anything Else from the Inside Out. He talks first about the number one thing that people do wrong. I admit it, he says, I'm frustrated. I'm tired of getting emails from people who write, I can't do what you did because, or I can't attract wealth into my life because... Just fill in the blank with whatever excuse you can think of. People say they can't write as many books as I have because they don't have the time, or they're too old, or too young, too married, too single. People say they can't make their book a bestseller as I did because their book is different, or they're different, or the timing is different. People say they can't ask celebrities for endorsements as I did because they feel insignificant, or insulting, or imposing. The list of excuses is endless. Here are actual ones I've received. You're more famous than me. I could never write people and ask for their help, as they wouldn't give me the time of day. And Joe says, I started asking people for help, advice, input, suggestions, and direction when I was a teenager. I have letters from FBI King J. Edgar Hoover, boxing legend Jack Dempsey, master magician John Mulholland. I was certainly unknown then, yet people have always helped me. I've managed to connect with Evel Knievel, Donald Trump, Jimmy Carter, best-selling authors, and more, and I did it before anyone knew my name. I simply asked for their help. They were kind and replied. Today, I'm doing the same for anyone who writes me who sounds sincere and respectful. You have a large network of people to ask for things. Yes, I do now, but I didn't when I first started. I developed my network by building relationships. I reached out to people, helped them, they helped me, and trust was formed. Because I've nurtured my relationships online for almost 10 years, a bond is set. When I announce that I want contributions for a new work, my network responds. When they want something, I respond. I was able to compile all the information from my most recent book, The E-Code, 47 Surprising Secrets for Making Money Online Almost Instantly, in less than 7 days, all because I asked my network for help. You have a big mailing list so you can send things faster. You can sell things faster even. Well, he said, I went online with no mailing list. None. I didn't even recognize the importance of having my own list until one day I offered my first e-class to then my tiny list and made $22,500 in one day. Then I woke up. I've been working on building my email list ever since. Anyone can do it. And while you're waiting to do it, you can always joint venture with people who have already done it. Just ask. One day, some person in Norway wrote me. He wanted to know if I'd help him sell his new software. I liked his program and agreed. He didn't have a list. I did. He had software. I liked it. I did a mailing and split the profits with him. It was a win-win. But you're more talented as a copywriter, so you can sell better than me. Well, I learned to be a copywriter by investing time, money, and effort into studying the greats and getting out there and doing it. My first sales letters were garbage. I still write and rewrite to make my letters as hypnotic as I can. I wasn't born writing, reading, or even walking. I learned it all, can't you? Another excuse. I don't have anything to offer free to get people to buy what I'm selling. Well, there are millions of things for free online. You can grab thousands of free ebooks. Just grab a few and offer them as your incentives to get people to buy your product or service. Anyone can do this. Just look around online. The fruit is there for the picking. I've seen people take classics of literature now in the public domain and available as ebooks and offer them as incentives for prospects to buy their product. And it works. How do you find them? Search. Another excuse. I can't teach an e-class like you because I have no credentials. His answer, your credentials are you. They are your life experiences more than anything else. Few today care about whether you have a degree or any other credential. They care if you can deliver on what you promise. Anything you can teach offline can be taught online. With video, audio, graphics, text, chat rooms, you can have a virtual classroom on anything you can imagine. And why not? Another excuse. I can't make money selling my stuff on the internet. His answer, look around. The internet is so big and vast and even incomprehensible that truly anything can be sold online. I've seen people sell tumbleweeds and buggy whips, greeting cards, and computer-generated art. Anything offline can be sold online. Go look at eBay. People sell cars, used clothes, dirt, even wedding dresses, and even snow there. I once sold an Elvis mermaid on eBay. Are there really any limits to what can be sold online? Another excuse. I missed the right time to sell my ideas. His answer. Really? Just look at the title of one of my books. There's a customer born every minute. A new crowd of prospects appears every single day. You can sell virtually anything at virtually any time if you think of what people want and cater to them. Sometimes you have to think of other uses for the same product or other audiences than what you had originally thought. But the best time to sell what you have is now. What are you waiting for? Another excuse. You live in America. I live in Mexico. Selling doesn't work here. And his answer, give me a break. Friends of mine always go to Mexico and other countries, and they come home with truckloads of things they bought. Besides that, with the internet, where you live is almost meaningless. Take your product and go online. Then you're not selling to your poor neighbors, but to the entire planet. Think big. The list goes on and on. To me, excuses are the number one thing people do wrong, online and offline. While all of these excuses seem legitimate to the person saying them, they're virtually all hogwash. Excuses are beliefs. If you buy into them, you're stuck. If you believe instead that there's always a way around whatever the excuse is, then you'll move forward. My philosophy is there's always a way. So let me try to help you here. First, what are your excuses? When I began asking the question, I can't do what you did because... What did you think in your mind? How did you complete the sentence? Those are some of your excuses. Joe Vitale goes on to say, ask yourself if there's any way on earth to get around your excuses. In other words, are the excuses you stated real or imagined? Have you tried to get past any of them? Has anyone else ever gotten past the same excuses? Finally, what would you do if you had no excuses? Whatever your answer, that's a clue to your biggest goal. Leave your excuses behind and you'll begin to attract wealth. Leave your excuses behind and you can achieve success. Leave your excuses behind and your life will begin to soar. If you don't act now, why not? Whatever your answer is, that's an excuse. Are you going to let it stop you? You see, we seem to create our lives out of our perceptions. If we focus on lack, we get more lack. If we focus on riches, we get more riches. If we focus on excuses, we attract more blocks. Our perception becomes a magnet that pulls us in the direction of where we want to go. If you don't consciously select where you want to go, you go where your unconscious wants you to go. To paraphrase a famous Swiss psychologist, Carl Jung, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. Close quote. In that regard, most of us are on autopilot. We simply haven't realized that we can take the controls. Knowing what you want helps you aim your life in the direction you want to take it. But there's a little more to it. Joe Vitale speaking, he said, I just had lunch with a delightful friend of mine. She had a session with Jonathan Jacobs last week and she was still glowing. Her eyes were large and alive, full of passion for life. She reminded me that even though you may think you know what you want, you may have to probe deeper to discover what you really want. She had gone to see Jonathan with the intention of creating a successful business for herself. Jonathan asked, for what purpose? After dodging the question for a while, she realized that she wanted to be a successful business person, quote, to prove I'm a worthwhile person, close quote. I remember saying I wanted to write books, said John Vitale, that were colossal bestsellers. Jonathan asked me the same famous question, for what purpose? At first, I squirmed and said things like, I want the money. My books are good enough for it. But the real reason, the underlying motivating factor, was that I wanted best-selling books so people would love and admire me. When I said that, I felt a shift within myself. I knew I had reached the real thing I wanted. My goal, my intention, was to feel love. Most people live their entire lives by being driven by an unconscious, unacknowledged need for something. The politician may be a child who never got enough attention. The businesswoman may be a youngster who doesn't feel equal to her peers. The best-selling author may still be trying to prove he's smart, or lovable, or admirable. Freedom and power come from knowing what you want without being a prisoner to what you want, says Joe Vitale. But there's another reason, he says, for knowing and stating your intention. When you declare it, you begin to discover all the things in the way of its happening. You may say you want to pay off your house so you're free of those big payments, but suddenly here come all the objections. I don't make enough money to pay off my house. No one ever does that. What will my parents think? Joe says, you know what I mean. It's easy to come up with objections. The trick is to dissolve those objections until you're clear inside. When you're clear, manifesting whatever you want will be easier. He says, let me explain. A woman went to see Jonathan because she was going to have a cancer operation on Monday. She saw him on Friday. She was terrified of the operation and wanted to get rid of her fears. Jonathan helped her release all her fears, and 2 hours later, when she sat up on his table, she felt so much better. She still went through the operation. On Monday, when the doctors opened her up, they couldn't find the cancer. What happened? Well, she believes that her beliefs were very powerful. The woman believed she could remove the beliefs that were causing her fear, and she did. But she didn't know that the fear was what created the cancer. This is what she believed. When she removed the fear, the cancer had left. She believed that it no longer had a home in her body, and that she had taken conscious control of her life by choosing to take care of her negative beliefs. She believed that she knew her life could be another way. Beliefs are how we create reality, says Joe. I'm not sure how to explain this to you, he says, in a way that makes sense. You've probably noticed that people seem to have recurring problems. Did you ever wonder why it was the same problem for each person over and over again? The people with money problems always have money problems. The people with relationship problems have relationship problems. It's as though each person specializes in a disorder. Beliefs, unconscious or not, says Joe, are creating those events. Until the beliefs that create the events are released, the event will continue to reoccur. He said, I know a man who's been married 7 times. He hasn't got it right yet. He'll continue to marry and divorce and marry and divorce until he removes the underlying beliefs that cause the events to happen. And while he continues to marry and divorce, he'll blame other people for his problems, maybe even blame fate or God. But as you read earlier, Joe says, and in our case, listened earlier, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. What are your beliefs? He asked. He says, look at your life. What you have are the direct results of your beliefs. Not happy? In debt? Poor marriage? Not successful? Bad health? These are the beliefs that are creating those experiences for you. In a very real sense, some part of you wants what you have, problems and all. Joe said, I remember motivational guru Tony Robbins talking about a schizophrenic woman who had diabetes when she was one personality and was healthy when she was another personality. Beliefs make up personality. The woman with diabetes had beliefs that created it. It's obvious that if you change the beliefs, you change the situation. And I must make an aside here as I'm reading. Not all things are created by our beliefs. And I'm continuing to go on. I do believe that our beliefs are powerful, but I don't want anyone with diabetes to think that it is caused totally by their beliefs. And I'm continuing on because Joe Vitale does have some wonderful points here. He goes on to say, how do you change the beliefs? It starts with selecting what you want for your life. As soon as you select what you want to be, do, or have, you'll discover beliefs in the way of it. They'll surface. They'll be your excuses. That swings back to what he was saying earlier. You can then restate your complaints so they become goals or intentions for you. Joe asks, so what do you want? What would make your heart sing? What would make you dance in the streets? What would make you smile right now thinking about it? What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? What would you want if you could have anything? What are the limits of our desires? Joe asks. He says, I'm not sure there are any. You could argue for physical or scientific limitations, but I think those are limits based on current research. At one point, it was known that no human could run the 4-minute mile. Now many can do it. At one point, we knew lead would sink in water. Now we build ships out of it. At one point, everyone knew we couldn't get to the moon. Been there, done that. At one point, people assumed the disabled could not participate in sports. Now we have the Special Olympics, and the list goes on. Again, Joe says, I'm not sure anything is impossible. I'm not sure you can't have it all. Certainly, the goals, intentions, and wishes of the average person are within reach. You may not know how to achieve it, but you know the wish is doable somehow, some way. The only thing you need to be aware of is what the Buddhists call hungry ghosts. These are desires that run you rather than you running them. Desires for new shoes when you have many pair and you don't need more might be a hungry ghost. Desires for more property when you have plenty might be a hungry ghost. Desire for more food when you just ate might be a hungry ghost too. Quote, the hungry ghosts are driven by intense neurotic cravings, close quote. Wrote Dominique Holder in Mindfulness and Money, quote, neurotic because the craving they experience is often displaced desire for something else, something they're not consciously aware of, close quote. And then Joe goes on, I'm not trying to stop you from desiring anything. Desire is good. It is what motivates you to get up, to live, to work, to grow, to love. It's built into your human system. You can use desire to transcend desire, but you also have to watch the mind. It can be like a wild monkey telling you to get this and now that and never letting you have any peace. You want to watch those hungry ghosts in your life. You want to honor the desires welling up from deep within you, the wishes that are from your core. When you come from that place, nothing is impossible and you can have anything you can imagine. The point is, Joe reports, you can attract anything you want. But the question remains, do you want your goals like a spoiled child in a candy store or a wild monkey drunk on power? Or do your desires come from the essence of who you are? Joe said, I know a woman who used the 5 steps that I teach to win money in Las Vegas. The rush was wonderful. The accomplishment was wonderful. But she then misused the money and ended up in Gamblers Anonymous. She now pays attention to the hungry ghosts in her and only uses the attraction factor to do something good in the world. I once used the attraction factor to win money in the Texas Lotto. I found it took a lot of energy to win a little money and that the accomplishment was empty. Now I focus on joyfully creating books, courses, audio recordings that bring me residual income while helping people. I make a great deal of money and I feel wonderful about it. I'm following my calling. I'm making a difference and I'm attracting wealth. What good do you want to do for yourself, your family, and others?